Good evening. You're listening to The Beaver Dam, 96.1 The Wit. I'm James Hudson. I'm here in the studio with
Floyd Krajovic, everyone's favorite.
Ty Avila and Trent Mast were unable to join us tonight. Ty has night class, and I'm not quite sure what Trent's doing tonight, but so we got the second team in here, but
second's always the best.
Yeah, you're dang right it is. And tonight we're gonna recap some of the games going on in college, pro, and also Bluffton. And to start out, we have college football, Floyd, and the newest AP poll just came out, and of course Alabama is still number one, but Michigan drops all the way down to eighth after losing to the Ohio State University last week. And Floyd, what do you think of Michigan dropping down four spots?
I am surprised it wasn't worse with the total embarrassment that Michigan came out with. I had them favored by 14 to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the final score was going to be 34-20 Michigan. But Ohio State, they just came out and was like, get out of our house.
Yeah, it was definitely a good game for Ohio State. And I was, you know, Ohio State's been known as the fourth quarter playing team. And I was really surprised that they came out and they really put it to Michigan. And I was really surprised Ohio State didn't jump up into fourth, honestly.
Hey, SEC favors the committee favors the SEC right now. So that's why.
Yeah, that's for sure. And in case you didn't know, the top 10 for the AP polls: Alabama at 1, Clemson at 2, Notre Dame at 3, Georgia at 4, Ohio State at Oklahoma at 5, Ohio State at 6, UCF at 7, Michigan at 8, Texas at 9, and 10 is Washington to top out the top 10. And is any of those surprise you, Floyd?
You know, I'm kind of surprised that Ohio State isn't 5th because Oklahoma doesn't have the most impressive record. They've only beaten, what, one ranked team?
Yeah, one ranked team. And they actually went up one spot after this week.
And I don't know, it just surprises me that they got it. They moved up a spot and Ohio State didn't jump them, because Ohio State came out and they put up a new, that was a record-breaking game Ohio State put there. You had Haskins breaking Drew Brees' old record. You had Ohio State putting up the most points ever on Michigan in the game with 62, the previous one being 50. So that's kind of surprising to me, and it's also kind of surprising that Georgia is 4.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they played last week, did they?
No, I don't think they
did. Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that Ohio State or Oklahoma would be there. I'd expect them to drop because they didn't play.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I definitely think Ohio State should have been a little higher, but like you said, their favorite SEC team, so I mean that could have stuff to do with it.
I'm just gonna be a little upset if Georgia comes out, beats Alabama, and Alabama's still in the top 4.
Yeah,
because that seems unfair to the teams looking in.
Yeah, and to slide into that topic, you know, next week we have a big jumble of games, mostly big games for every team. You know, we have Utah and Washington, 17 and 16 playing. There's Texas and Oklahoma. Iowa State plays Drake, which I'm not really sure who they are. They're unranked, so
I think that's a lower level D1 school.
Yeah, Memphis and UCF, and like you said, Georgia and Alabama play next week. And you know, if Alabama beats Georgia, I would definitely look for them to drop. I mean, even though Alabama is technically the number one team, I mean, there's no reason. You know what I'm saying? And with two losses under their belt.
And here's another thing. The SEC championship, it's got the biggest implications on the Final Four. Because if Alabama doesn't win and they have that one loss, how do you justify Alabama being in the top 4 over, say, Oklahoma or Ohio State, who possibly could win their championship games?
Yeah.
Like, I understand, like, a while the last time Alabama didn't have it, because no one else around them had a championship, and they did look like the best team looking in. But right now, you have Ohio State coming off a dominant win. You have Oklahoma, who's looking good, and both of them have a chance to win theirs. And I do predict, and my prediction is Oklahoma's going to come out and they're going to stomp Texas, or they should. I don't think Texas is going to stand much of a chance. And Northwestern, it's dear to my heart that it's their first time there, and I want them to win, but the Buckeyes, I need them to win this.
Yeah, and I mean, Northwestern, 9-4, 8-1 in the Big Ten, and you know, Ohio State's 8-1 in the Big Ten also, 11-1 in regular season. So I definitely think that Ohio State's favored. You know, they're ranked 10th, Northwestern's 19th. And so, I mean, it might be a decent game, but I definitely think Ohio State will prevail in that game. And, you know, also, next week, you know, you have Clemson and Pittsburgh. And Clemson ranked number 2, and Pittsburgh 24. So I think Clemson will definitely come out with an easy win.
Yeah, it's really hard for me to respect Clemson being in the top four. I understand they're unbeaten, but the ACC is just not challenging at all.
Yeah.
Like, they've beaten, what, one ranked team, and that's Boston College, and Boston College just didn't look impressive.
Yeah, that's true. Boston College did not look like any part of a challenge for Clemson.
I mean, Clemson has been putting up 70 points on opponents this year. And they've done it, I think, like twice this year?
Yeah.
I know they've done it multiple times. And it's like, how can you have a team that's a juggernaut in their conference, and there looks to be like no one who can stop them. How can you respect that team if their level of competition is just nowhere near their level?
Yeah, and I feel like once they, you know, they beat Pittsburgh. Let's say they beat Pittsburgh and they get into the playoffs. I feel like it's going to be like a star-struck moment when they face somebody who's, you know, as good as they are. So I feel like it's definitely going to be a pop in the face as soon as they face somebody that's, you know, up to their level.
Yeah, and Notre Dame, I think it will be a really good matchup for them. I think Notre Dame is definitely a really good football team. Mm-hmm. I definitely think they have a chance to make it to the title game.
Yeah.
And it's just, you can probably guarantee who you could predict the top three are. It's like, who do you think will be number 4, though? That's the big question. Unless a big upset happens during championship weekend, you know who the top three are. Mm-hmm. It's just, who do you think number 4 is going to be? Is it Oklahoma, or is it going to be Ohio State?
You know, I think Oklahoma's facing Texas. And like you said, I don't really think there's any chance of Texas beating Oklahoma. But now, Northwestern, I mean, we've seen Ohio State lose to Purdue.
Right.
So, I mean, I feel like Northwestern has a better chance of beating Ohio State than Texas does of Oklahoma. So I feel like if both teams come out with a win, you got to look at who their opponent was. You know, Texas, you know, Oklahoma's a better team than Texas.
Right.
Whereas Ohio State, I mean, nobody really knows. I mean, I'm an Ohio State fan, obviously, but
same here.
But nobody really knows what kind of team. Obviously, I mean, they beat Michigan, which was a good win for them.
Right.
But they also lost to a Purdue team that is horrible.
But if you go by historical stats, they always play bad against Purdue.
That's true. They always have played bad against.
Yeah, Purdue always has a chance every year to beat them because Ohio State just never plays like they normally do. But I feel that if Ohio State comes out and Haskins just does what he did against Michigan, Ohio State will have a real argumentative shot to jump Oklahoma.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, we're just going to have to wait and see what the games
hold
for us to see. You know, there's speculations we can make, but I feel like if Ohio State wins and Oklahoma wins, it'll definitely be a toss-up.
I feel, though, that Ohio State's defeated far more ranked teams than.
Yeah, that's
And two
that's
of those
sure.
teams were top in the five. Top five,
yeah.
Which was Penn State and Michigan.
Yeah, and that Penn State game, you got to look at the atmosphere too. I mean, whiteout.
Yeah, the whiteout.
That's not an easy place to win. and being ranked, I mean, I feel like they need to take atmosphere into more consideration when they're figuring out the poll, because, I mean, like I said, the whiteout, that is not an easy place to win by any means, and plus, I mean, plus they beat a top five team. I mean, that's a big deal.
And that's two more than Oklahoma
has.
Yeah,
that's true, yeah.
Oklahoma, I think, has beaten a top 25 team, and I don't think, and I say top 25 because I'm not sure, I don't think that team they beat was ranked in the top 15.
Yeah.
Because I think they were ranked somewhere from 20 to 25.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll just have to see what this weekend's championship games come along with.
Because you never know. People might get what they finally all wanted, and that was chaotic football up in the top five.
And as we're talking Ohio State's top five wins, you know, we had the Michigan game last week.
Right.
And like you said, Haskins was beating records this week. And, you know, Ohio State had over 500 total yards this week for the Michigan game. I mean, Michigan had a little over 400, but I mean, they had over 550 yards. They had 567 yards. That is a heck of a game.
Insult to injury, Michigan had the number one ranked defense.
I know, and so, Ohio State had the number two ranked offense. Like, going into that game, I heard them say that on the announcing, and I was like, oh my goodness, this is going to be a good game. So, Ohio State won 62-39, and I mean, it was just a good game.
Yeah, I wanted to ream that kick returner when he fumbled that.
I was
so mad
downhill from there. I really did.
When they went into halftime and Michigan was only down what, two or three, I was like, oh no, it's happening. Ohio State's going to melt down, and they just came out and they just stuck it to them, saying, get out of our house, you're not beating us today.
Yeah, one of the recaps they have on here is Haskins threw for 5 touchdown passes. And then we had a freshman, Chris Olav. I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name correctly, but he scored twice and blocked a punt that was returned for a touchdown.
Yeah, he played a massive role in the win, because that punt block, it was a major momentum giver to Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely for sure. And Ohio State's defense played a lot better this week than they had in recent games. You know, that was the big struggle and the big talk that, you know, after losing Nick Bosa, that, you know, Ohio State's defense wasn't going to be good enough to face against, you know, Michigan and stuff like that. So I definitely think that they surprised everybody.
Yeah, I for one thought, so the Bluffton football team, we are made up a lot of Detroit people and Ohio people, so there is a lot of bad blood between the teammates when this week comes around, and a lot of people make bets, and I don't have to pay up for the fourth year in a row.
Yeah, that's definitely a good thing, Floyd.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a 60-second break here, and when we come back, we'll slide into the NFL and talk about the Browns-Michigan game this week. What do you say, Floyd?
You mean Browns-Cincinnati.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Browns-Cincinnati. Whoopsie.
Brain fart.
Yeah. You're listening to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
Hey, parents. It's hard to pick up your kids nowadays without embarrassing them.
Hi, honey.
Not in front of my friends.
Well, kiss the embarrassment goodbye with OMGPS. OMGPS is a state-of-the-art navigation system that tells you exactly how far away you need to park when you pick up your kids.
Keisha at mall. Proceed to outer food court.
But she's not at the food court. She's at the movie theater.
Exactly. OMGPS comes with patented preteen reasoning technology to pinpoint precise pickup locations and minimize embarrassment.
In 100 yards, turn off the oldies music.
Thanks, OMGPS.
OMGPS is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
And we're back here with the Beaver Dam, 96.1 The Wit. I'm James Hudson, and I'm here with
Floyd Kerjovic, still the same person.
And, you know, Ty, like I said, Ty and Trent are out this week, so, you know, we're here for you. And
yeah, you get the better commentators this week.
And to continue our show, we're going to be talking NFL. And some of the bigger games this week was the Bears and the Lions game. And, you know, the Lions kind of held with the Bears, a little more surprising than everybody thought. I mean, the final score is 23-16, which, I mean, obviously not a close game, but a little closer than anybody thought it would be.
I actually, when I found out that the Bears were starting a quarterback that has not played a game since 2014, I was like, the Lions have a chance to win this game. And you have to give respect to the Lions. Whenever they play on Thanksgiving, they always play their team really tough, whether they win or lose. So I thought it was going to be a good game when I found out all that information, and it turned out to be a really good one.
Yeah. And also, we had the Cowboys-Redskins. Cowboys beat the Redskins pretty easily, 31-23. The Saints and the Falcons, 31-17. Saints are on a roll.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, the polls
that just came out, Saints are the best team in the NFL right now, and I don't deny that, you know.
I mean, they beat the Rams, but until I see them beat the Chiefs, yeah. I ain't going to say they're the best team
in
NFL.
But again, the Chiefs beat the Rams, so...
Okay, we're not starting this, because I ain't going... And you get me started on this, we're going to be talking about the UCF debacle thing.
And then, one of the games that I was surprised with, the Bills beat the Jaguars.
Okay, that was a surprise to me, but it's not surprising with how bad the Jaguars have been playing, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you have Ramsey who just sits there and just talks so much trash week in and week out about all their opponents, and they've lost every single one of them.
Yeah. And, you know, I saw, like, the thing on Twitter about one of the Jaguars' defensive players talking and saying that the Bills drafting Sam Darnold, was it? Is that who'd they draft?
I don't remember.
I think it... Here, let me see. No. Josh Allen, sorry. I couldn't remember which one they drafted. But I saw things that saying that one of the Jaguars' defensive players was saying that...
It was Ramsey's.
Huh?
It was Ramsey's.
Ramsey's?
Yeah, one that's talking all the trash.
Yeah, he said that drafting Josh Allen was the worst mistake of the Bills' career. Of the Bills organization that they could make. And then Allen, you know, he threw for 160 with one touchdown, and he rushed for 99 with one touchdown.
Hey, who's trash now?
Yeah, I mean, and they beat them. I mean, granted, only by a field goal, but a win's a win.
Yeah, and especially if you go and talk that much smack, you need to make sure your team wins.
Yeah.
And here's the thing you might not know. Did you hear that they bench Blake Bortles?
Yeah, that is true, yeah. Which, I don't understand that.
He's not producing like he did.
Well, I mean, obviously the backup's not producing like he did, like he should either. I mean,
hey, the backup has a better excuse than the starter, because the starter, you're starting because you're supposed to be the best.
Yeah.
The backup, you're supposed to not be as good as the starter. So, I don't know if the Jaguars are just having internal issues with their offense or what's going on with them, but they're not the same team as they were when they made that huge playoff run.
Yeah, and then the 9-3 Patriots, they beat the Jets, you know.
That's not a
surprise.
Not much
of a surprise there, yeah.
Well, the game was close, and the Jets were winning at one point.
I mean, 27-13, it was a little more of a surprise than I expected.
No, but the Patriots better be sending the Broncos a gift basket, because the Broncos came and beat the Steelers,
yeah,
which helps
the Patriots out.
Yeah, get home field advantage throughout the entire playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably the biggest surprise for me over the weekend, was the Broncos coming out and beating the Steelers, because I thought the Steelers were riding a high note right now. But Big Ben and his late game interceptions and turnovers just plagued them.
Yeah, and then of course you have the Giants and the Jets, or in the Eagles game. The Eagles beat the Giants by a field goal. And that was a decent game as well.
Yeah, I mean, that just shows you how bad the Eagles are. The Giants aren't the greatest team in the world. They are not putting up the best fights at all. And to beat them by a field goal,
mm-hmm.
I think that just shows you how much the Eagles are struggling this season.
Yeah.
I mean, the Browns probably could beat the Eagles.
The Buccaneers beat the 49ers. No really surprise there. Other than the Buccaneers hadn't been playing their best football, but, I mean, the 49ers are horrible.
They're both really low-tier
and
teams.
And James Winston had a game. 312 yards, two TDs. Not a bad game.
Against a bad team.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
But I will say this. He did perform a lot better than I thought he would.
Yeah.
So hopefully he keeps producing like that against better teams, but we'll have to wait and see on that one.
Seahawks beat the Panthers by a field goal. And, I mean, the Panthers aren't horrible. The Seahawks aren't horrible. It was just kind of
they're both in the hunt looking.
Yeah.
And the two teams that are in the hunt or have the wild card spots are the Redskins and the Vikings, I think.
Yeah, I think it's the Vikings.
And I think the Seahawks have a really good chance of at least overtaking the Redskins.
Yeah, I think you're right. And then we also have the Ravens and the Raiders. The Ravens beat the Raiders. Not really much of a game there. I mean, 34-17.
I mean, yeah, Raiders are just god awful.
Yeah.
Browns shouldn't have lost to them. That's what
That's what upsets me too, is they lost to
the Browns should have such a better record.
Raiders. Yeah, they should have beat the Steelers first game of the year.
Yeah.
They should have beat the Raiders.
They should have beat the Saints.
That's true, and the Saints are the best team in the league. Like, if you look at who the Browns should have beaten, the Browns could literally be a top five team in the NFL right now.
They should either be I feel the Browns should be undefeated or have one loss. But
yeah, like it's weird to think about how the Browns, who have won no games last year, could potentially be an unbeaten team this year if they would have played their best football.
Yeah.
The Chargers beat the Cardinals 45-10.
Yeah, that ain't no big surprise.
I mean, the Cardinals put up 10 points in the first quarter, and then they were shut out the next three.
Rivers completed 25 passes in a row, setting an NFL record.
Yeah,
he was
28 for 29. He only had one incompletion.
And that was what broke his streak.
Yeah, he had 259 passing yards, three touchdowns. Pretty good game.
Yeah, he had his way with the Cardinals.
The Packers lost to the Vikings 24-17. I mean, the Packers have a decent chance of winning out. I saw on ESPN earlier that they have a decent chance of winning out. The only team that they really have a little bit of a challenge with is going to be the Ravens. But that's going to be hard to do. I mean, there's quite a bit of football left to play.
Yeah.
And the Colts beat the Dolphins by a field goal.
I had the Dolphins taking that one.
Yeah, it looks like the Dolphins were ahead after the third quarter, and then going into the fourth quarter, the Colts just outplayed them.
It doesn't matter how well you start the game. If you can't close it,
yeah,
you're not going to win.
Yeah, that's for sure. And what's surprising is that Andrew Luck had 343 yards with three touchdowns.
Wow.
Yeah. He hasn't been playing that good.
No, it doesn't matter. If a quarterback is not playing good and they actually come out and show you a game, that's impressive.
That just reassures you that, yeah, he's
still there.
Yeah.
He's still there.
And like you said, the Broncos beat the Steelers 24-17, which, I mean, I feel like surprised a lot of people.
Yeah. And, I mean, looking back at the game against the Jaguars, you could tell that the Steelers, they're not completely there, but they have the potential to be there.
Yeah.
And it just showed you that they're not fully there again with this week.
And then to slide into the big one, Floyd, the Bengals
everyone
beat the Browns 35-20.
Okay,
Browns beat the Bengals. I am sorry, you know, I'm looking at this and I'm trying to focus here. I'm hungry and it's been a long day.
Hey, there's no excuse for taking this away from the Browns, dude.
I know. I'm a Browns fan and you know that, Floyd. The Browns beat the Bengals 35-20. There, I'm sorry I missed
it. Now, the surprising thing in this game was the Bengals were the ones favored to win this.
Yeah, even though they haven't been, their defense has been bad.
Yeah, they've been awful.
Very bad.
And I was like, you see how the Browns have played all season. They've played really good football.
Yeah.
They have not really been blown out at all in any of their losses.
Nope.
They've stayed competitive this entire, like, every game. I'm like, the Bengals, they're worse than the Browns.
Yeah.
Granted, they have the better record, yeah, but still. The Browns have played better football than the Bengals, and that's what upset me going into this game, is that the Bengals were favored over the Browns.
Yeah, that, and I mean, it does surprise me, but I mean, coming out of, you can't blame, I mean, the Browns have been bad recently, in recent years, and so, I mean, that does show a little bit of favoritism to, like, the, you know, past years.
Yeah, but you can't, if you're going to rate a game this year, you need to look at this year's games.
Yeah.
You, the Browns, should have been the favorite team.
Mm-hmm.
You could have favored them by a point for all I care, but you have to give the Browns the respect they've earned this year.
Yeah. Baker Mayfield had 258 yards with 4 touchdowns. Pretty good game. And then Andy Dalton got hurt, and they brought in their backup, who actually played better than Andy Dalton.
Yeah, like, Andy Dalton was not doing anything against the Browns. Then this backup comes in, and I'm like, oh no, not again.
Yeah, I thought they were going to come back and beat us, Wood.
Yeah, but the defense held out. And if, in case you guys didn't watch the game, mm-hmm. you need to go back and watch that catch from Nick Chubb.
Yeah, one heck of a catch. And I didn't honestly think, I mean, I'm a Browns fan, but I don't think he actually caught it. I mean, he bobbled it.
I don't know what you're talking about. That was the catch all the way. He wrangled it off the defender. Like, so the defender was not looking back at the ball. He was on Chubb the entire time. Chubb had to get the ball over the defender's back, helmet, and come down in bounds with it. Like, it was an amazing catch. If you guys did not see it, you gotta check it out. And then Njoku, did you remember his? Like, he tried hurdling a guy, fails miserably.
Yeah, but, and then gets pushed in.
By his lineman. Like, yeah. He stays on his feet somehow after failing hurdling.
Yeah, he and got, then, like, cross-bodied. And, yeah, that was amazing.
Stays on his feet, and then his linemen are like, all right, since you can't do it yourself, we'll do it for you.
Yeah.
And just drive him into the end zone. Like, the Browns played a phenomenal game.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta give them credit, and you gotta stop looking at the, oh yeah, well, they didn't win a single game last year. Last year doesn't matter. This is a new Browns team, and you gotta give them the respect they deserve. They should earn the respect of the people they play from this point forward.
Yeah. And the Browns look to keep that momentum next week when they take on Houston. And that'll be a decent game.
Yeah, I think both teams will be evenly matched going into that game.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a 2-minute break here, and when we come back, we'll cross over into Beavers sports and recap the basketball games. What do you say, Floyd?
Let's go.
All right. This is the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
Hello, and thank you for calling Dial-A-Movie, your one-stop guide to what's playing in theaters near you. For the Hollywood blockbuster, Anything But Sunshine, please press 1. For the romantic comedy, Anything But Sunshine, please press 2. For Anything But Sunshine, please press 3. If you would like to see Anything But Sunshine, please press 4. Please make your selection now. You've selected Anything But Sunshine.
You expect options everywhere else in life. Are you getting them when it comes to your medical treatment? Explore all your options and talk with your doctor about what's right for you. Knowing your options is the best option. Learn more at ahrq.gov. That's ahrq.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
Wow, this place is so adorable. I can't believe we haven't stopped in sooner.
Yeah, it's really cute.
Betsy, look at these sweaters. 2 for $75, and they'd look amazing on our girls.
Maybe they would. I'm not sure if it's the right size.
Oh, come on. You know they're perfect. What's wrong?
Suzanne, I have no business being in this store. I should not be shopping. Things are really tight right now.
Tight? Are you and Michael having trouble?
We're behind on our mortgage, and Michael is really worried.
Listen, Bill and I had the same problem a few months ago, and we got some really great counseling, and it was free. I'm going to email you the information as soon as we get home.
Suzanne, you're the best.
If you even think you may be in danger of foreclosure, call the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. Certified housing counselors can help you work through your problems, and the service is free. Call the NFCC at 866-687-6322 or visit mortgagehelpnow.org. That's mortgagehelpnow.org. This has been a public service from the NFCC.
And we're back at the Beaver Dam. That was a bad intro. James Hudson, Floyd here, and of course Ty and Trent are out right now, but like you said, we're the best.
Yeah, I mean, can't sell ourselves short. That's why we're here.
Yeah, and we're going to kick it over to Bluffton Beavers sports, and really all we got going on right now is basketball.
Yeah.
And women's basketball, they played Heidelberg, and they lost that game 68-55. You know, they fell to Heidelberg University by a score of 68-55, like I said, on Wednesday, November 21st. The loss dropped the Beavers to 1-3, while the student Princes improved to 2-2 heading into Thanksgiving break. The Beavers struggled to a sluggish start as they were down 9-3 midway through the first quarter. Bluffton responded by scoring 8 straight points to take a lead of 11-9 with a minute and 18 left on the clock. The home team evened it up 11-11 after one. Excuse me. Heidelberg outscored the Beavers 17-9 in the second quarter, sparked by 6 points by Alyssa Riley and 5 points by Brooke Beener. Yeah, I think that's how you pronounce it. As the visitors trailed 28-20 at halftime, the Beavers closed. The closest to the Beavers could get to the rest of the way was 32-27 following a Nora Hemninger jump shot with 6:49 left to play in the period of the third period. The student Princes responded with a 7-0 run to take a 12-point lead, and they never looked back. Both the Beavers and the student Princes scored 21 points in the final period as Heidelberg capped off a 68-55 Thanksgiving Eve victory. TJ Mills for the Beavers led the way with 16 points, including 10 of 13 from the free throw line, and Hemninger, also put up a double digit, scoring 11 points on 15 of 10 from the field. The other big contributor of the Beavers was Brianna Gilling. Sorry, I couldn't read the font is a little different.
Yeah, from the names it is.
Yeah, and she scored 9 points, and while she pulled down a team high 9 rebounds. Alyssa Riley had a team high 14 points for the student Princes. Maddie Crawford fashioned a very impressive stat line for the night with a double that included 10 points and 13 rebounds. They also had 2 points. Their two players reached double digits off the bench, Jasmine Thomas with 11 and Brittany Ulmer with 10 points. The Beavers connected on just 28.1% from the field and going 16 of 57. Heidelberg hit 26 of 68 from the field, 38.2%. Bluffton was impressive at the free throw line, however, draining 21 of 25, 84%, while the home team hit only 10 for 17 from the charity stripe. The student Princes won the rebounding battle 45-40 and handed out 7 more assists. They also received 29 points off the bench, while the Beavers reverses chipped in with just 12 makes. Bluffton will be back in action on Wednesday, November 28th, when the women take on John Carroll University in the Sommer Center at 6 p.m. It will be first contest of the Beaver doubleheader with the men, who will take on Kalamazoo just right after that. The men's Beavers, they took on Hiram, and they won that game 76-62. And the Bluffton University men's You know, they knocked them off 76-62 in a home opener with Hiram. Four Beavers notching double digits in Wednesday's win. Although Bluffton trailed 41-33 at the half, the Beavers used a convincing 43-21 edge in the final period to knock off the Terriers for their second win in a row. With the Beavers trailing by 8 at the half, they needed a flip to flip the script in the second period, and they did just that after pulling within a point at 46-45 with 14:42 left to play. Bluffton finally took the lead with Andrew Renner knocking down a pair of free throws to put the Beavers up 47-46. The home team never looked back thanks to tremendous defense and limited Hiram offense with 16% from the field they scored in a second half, including 0 for 8 from the outside in the arc. The visitors drilled 7-18 in the field, or in the first period. So it looks like the Beavers had a pretty good game. What do you say, Floyd?
Well, I was there calling the game, and if you were listening to the beginning of the second half, I mixed up both teams and was calling the wrong names. So there's a little ha-ha for everyone. But it was a really good game to watch. The Beavers put up a good fight in the first half, but they just couldn't stop number 21 from Hiram in the first half. He was hot. He was just nailing the threes with hands in his face. And the halftime adjustment was stop him, because he was the one causing all the problems. He was the one getting the most of their points. And he wasn't even a starter, too. He was a bench player causing the most problems. And, you know, they came out in the second half, and they just did what they had to do. They played a tremendous defense. They started getting their shots to connect, and they just didn't look back when they finally took that lead, and they just closed out a good game.
Yeah, and the Bluffton men's basketball team also knocked off Heidelberg 79-76 on a road, on the road, with three Beavers notching double digits on Saturday. Although Bluffton was up by as many as 19 with 16:50 to play, it took several key players down the stretch to ultimately put the Beavers over the top of their third win, which they're now 3-1. On the season. Bluffton held a 45-36 advantage at the half and pushed it to 19 with less than 17 minutes to play before Heidelberg got untracked. The Student Princes cut the lead to 1 when Myron Prewitt hit a layup, which made the score 77-76 with just 2 seconds left in the game. The Beavers hung on thanks to two huge free throws by junior Andrew Renner, which sealed the deal for Bluffton. And it sounds like it was a pretty close game and a pretty exciting game, Floyd.
Yeah, those are the ones, as a basketball fan, you don't want to see, because you just can't tell whether or not your team's going to be able to pull off the comeback or pull off the late stall. I would have probably been having a heart attack during that final stretch of play.
Yeah, it was definitely a good game, and I definitely think the Beavers were very gracious to hold their own and come out with a win.
Yeah, I think the men's team, they really have a pretty solid team with them this year, and I'm really excited to see what they pull off down the road.
Yeah, it was definitely a good thing for them. Like we mentioned, the men and women will have a doubleheader coming this Wednesday on November 28th. The women will take on John Carroll, while the men will take on Kalamazoo. And then both teams will be away on the 1st of December at Transylvania, while the women come home on the 5th to face Earlham College. The men will be away on the 5th to take on Earlham College. Also in December, on the 8th, both teams will take on Hanover in a doubleheader on the 8th, and they will both be home. And then Thanksgiving break, the women's team will take on Franklin at home, while the men will take on Franklin at home as well. And then there will be a tournament like right there. It's like a festival tournament where the women will take on Waynesburg and the men will take on Ohio Midwestern, and then depending on who they beat or whether they win or whether they lose, they will face another team. And then they will also take on, the women will take on Mount St. Joseph on the 2nd, and that'll be away, and the men will take on Mount St. Joseph, but it will be home. So that's a little bit of the upcoming schedule for the Bluffton Beavers men and women team. And Floyd, what do you think the men and women need to continue doing to kind of keep their seasons on the stretch they are?
The women, they need just to find an identity, I think. Because I haven't gotten to see them play yet, but from what it sounds like is they don't have a scorer, and their defense just can't hold that well. I think they need to find an identity. I think they need to find like some way to become a more team-oriented team, mm-hmm. because they, from what it sounds like, is they don't have that solo carry potential or have like a dual threat between two players. I think they need to find an identity. And the guys, they just need to keep doing what they're doing. They're playing good basketball. They have a good offense, good defense. I don't think the men really need to do anything but just keep playing the way they've been playing these last couple of games.
Yeah, the men are definitely having a little bit better season than the women, and I think if the men just continue what they're doing, they'll definitely end on a high note. And the women, I feel like they just need to find their chemistry. You know, they lost some big seniors, and I feel like if they can interpret some of those freshmen and find their chemistry, I think they'll find a better season.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else to add, Floyd?
Not really, man.
All right, and that wraps up this episode of The Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to us on Friday. Check out previous podcasts, searching and subscribe on iTunes and Google Play, The Wit 96.1 Podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at The Beaver's Dam, The Beaver Dam 96.1. For more information, check out our website, bluffdenwit.com, and subscribe. This has been James Hudson, joined alongside with
Floyd Krajovic.
And we thank you for listening to 96.1 The Wit.
Roll Beavs.